Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always thankful to be able to come to you live and in living color, and certainly to bring you what we know is information for motivation, inspiration, and definitely for liberation. This segment is going to focus on, of course, today being African Liberation Day. And my apologies to my brothers and sisters in D.C. I was supposed to attend an event there today, and unfortunately some unexpected things came up and I was unable to attend. But I'm sure we will have Brother Lee on probably next week to give us a report on the activities that took place today. I know they were really, really powerful and very productive. Before we continue on with tonight's show, of course, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are certainly very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. As indicated, we are going to talk tonight about liberation, African liberation. Of course, this day, giving some recognition to when the concept started, and of course, it was initially called Freedom Day. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And also, where are we going as we move forward for African liberation? What are some of the things that we can improve upon or initiate further or what have you? We're going to open up the chat room a little later on for you to put your postings there and let us know what you think. How can we move forward really advantageously as it pertains to African liberation in this day and age, and certainly in a way that is more timely, shall we say. But at any rate, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to also talk about why are we still seeing this increase of women and girls being murdered, of African descent, and rape. For those of you who get our regular postings, then of course you probably have seen by now the one that we got recently from New York, where a 14-year-old was brutally murdered, dumped on the beach, and supposedly she was killed because she told her boyfriend she was pregnant. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as well, but more importantly, perhaps, what are we going to do about these things? Again, there is an alarming increase of violations of our women and girls. And when I say violations, we're talking about some real heinous kind of stuff now. You know, it's not just hit you, slap you, punch you, knock you down. It's cut you up, burn you, and so forth. And so, you know, we really have now got to put a little more emphasis on what's going on with our women and girls now, like we do with so many other issues. This, too, has to be of significance and of importance, and it is. Before we go on with our program for tonight, again, we want to send our condolences out to our family in New York. Brother G2 made transition a few days ago. For those who are familiar with the African Street Festival and years ago, the Nahamu Sasa Independent School. Well, Brother G2 was the originator or founder or what have you for two great institutions. So, again, we send our much love out to the family and community there in New York. And certainly we continue on to send our love and blessings out to the Shabazz family. Of course, we did get word that our brother Malcolm Latif was, in fact, buried on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, in New York. And there is a memorial service coming up, I believe, this week. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. And also some of the upcoming kinds of projects that Dr. Randy Short and colleagues will be putting together to make certain that the memory and the work of Malcolm Latif Shabazz and of course of Malcolm X as well, is continued in the manner that it should be. So we'll tell you a little more about that as well. In the meantime, we're going to take just a brief break, and in doing so, we're going to set the segment up for our live line dialogue. We're going to talk with a sister who is going to be joining us on the live line tonight, Sister Natasha Cotton, who is an activist, a spoken word artist, an organizer, an economic development specialist. But she's going to also talk to us tonight about, did you know there's a small city in New York that is considered a murder capital in the U.S.? I'm going to talk about that and how we could maybe help deal with some of the murders that are going on with some of the children in that particular location. So we have a lot we're going to focus on tonight. And again, we're going to open up the chat room a little later on. And with that, we're going to talk about African liberation, 21st century style, Pan-Africanism, where is it going? Black nationalism, where is it going? And the idea of unity, well, what is that really about? Because a lot of people talking about it, but for real, I have some serious questions about it, and I'm sure some of you do as well, because the demonstration of that is starting to look kind of interesting. But we'll talk about that a little more as well. In the meantime,
shock and sorrow that I received the news of the tragic and somewhat incomprehensible death of Malcolm Malik Shabazz, the grandson of Black nationalist leader and icon Malcolm X. Born October 8, 1984, several decades after the assassination of his grandfather, Malcolm had the lean, angular beauty of his famed forebear, so much so that a shadow of grandfather was reflected in his face. But his face bore far more, for there, in his eyes, was the unmistakable glint of the pain of those once imprisoned. His bid came in the midst of his childhood, a boy's mistake that instantly transformed into the unthinkable, in arson that took the sweet life of his grandmother, Dr. Betty Shabazz, and scarred a child forever. The details of his passage into eternity aren't clear, but it seems Malcolm, while in Mexico, got into a ruffle with locals over a bill. And the locals, none too fond of Americans anyway, beat the young man to death. In his relatively short life, Malcolm traveled perhaps as much as his grandfather, visiting France, Libya, Venezuela, and, alas, Mexico. Malcolm Malik Shabazz, the grandson of Malcolm X, was 29 years old when he returned to his ancestors. From a prison nation, this is Monica Abu Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
We will play the time to
I'm going to just remind you that the most recent report, a 14-year-old young sister was murdered this past week by her so-called boyfriend after she told him that she was pregnant. Unfortunately, the family of this young sister did not take this very well, and as a result, they then killed him. So this whole thing of violence and abuse, while we talk about it as it pertains to our women and girls, obviously it's affecting our whole community, our whole family. And so we are, you know, sending a special call out to sisters in particular to really get involved with the Black Women's Defense League. And if not the Black Women's Defense League, any type of group or what have you that is doing the kind of work that is necessary to work with these young sisters in particular, and any of our women and girls that are experiencing the trauma and so forth as a result of being violated. Again, rape and murder is on the rise here in the good old USA, and unless we step up and do something about it, this thing is only going to increase. And so, again, we sent a special, special kind of call out, shall we say, to our sisters. It's time now to stand up. It's time now to really help us coordinate on a national level a movement that is going to really be proactive, not feminism. We oftentimes have to put that out there to folk because we want people to understand that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all of our people. But there's a specific area that has been neglected. And so we want to begin to make certain that ample work, time, energy, and so forth is put into now our young girls, who is going to be somebody's mother and wife. So it behooves us to do what we need to do now today to, you know, make sure that we bring this thing forward. Again, another young girl, 14 years of age, dating a man 20 years of age, and unfortunately, she's now dead, and so is he. So we now know that this is kind of what's going to be going on in our communities because we're seeing it. And oh, by the way, after he murdered this young sister, he burned her up and then disposed of her body on the beach. So again, we're not just talking about you know, just slaps or hits. We're talking about some things now that we've never really seen in our community, at least not to the extent that we're seeing it now. And so, you know, I want to thank those brothers, the ones that I've met over the years, who have shown much love and respect for the various projects that we have implemented from the Million Woman Movement and the Black Women's Defense League. We've had brothers in support, and now we are creating another component called BAR, Brothers Against Rape and Violence. So actually it's BAR 5, and there are 5 points that our men are being asked to look at. So we're going to tell you more about that in the very near future as well. We're going to get ready to go to our live line in a few minutes, and joining us is going to be Sister Natasha Cotton, who is going to talk to us about some things that's going on in her community and, of course, nationwide. But why is this particular small city now being dubbed as one of the murder capitals in the U.S.? Again, with gentrification, with the school closings all over the country, 50 in Chicago, 28 in Philadelphia. The Detroit school system is in total disarray. Washington, D.C. are closing schools. So what's going to happen with these children? Well, you and I know the pipeline to the prison is in full effect. We're going to hear a little more from Stevie Wonder and India Arie. Then we're going to come back and go to our live line and talk with Sister Natasha Patton, who is a spoken word artist, community activist, and an economic development specialist. We'll be back in a few minutes. Letters with several briefs, because we charge genocide. Moving right along, we're going to get ready to bring it closer in to some things that's going on in our community. And we're going to get ready to go to our live line and talk with a sister who I've had the pleasure to meet this week and talk about some of the activities and cultural things that she's been working on to really help raise up, you know, our children in the area that she resides in. But she's also a sister who has a national focus. And we're going to talk more about that as well. As sisters begin now to come together as we prepare for the 16th year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world, and now the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent worldwide. It's time that we come in from the Cole family and do this work the way we know we must. So with that said, we're going to go to our live line, and we should be bringing in Sister Natasha Cotton, who again is a spoken word artist, a community activist, and a sister who is sincerely and deeply concerned about what's going on in her community and with our families and communities nationwide. Let's see if we have her on the line now. Sister Natasha, we have you with us now?
Yes, ma'am. Peace and blessings, all.
All right. Good thanks. Thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, indeed. So before we go into, you know, what are your missions is for right now and certainly, of course, in the future, tell our family a little bit about you.
Well, I call myself a little lady around the neighborhood for the most part because I hate titles. I dislike titles. I don't hate titles, but I dislike titles because it separates me from the people that I try to deal with on a regular basis. Sometimes if you gather a title, they kind of shy away instead of come closer, and I'd rather have them respect me than fear me. So I'm just a little lady in the neighborhood.
I hear you, sis. Oh, so what are some of the things you do in the neighborhood?
Oh, my goodness. That's a little everything. I sponsor a set of drummers age 8 to 13 called the Beat Boys and the Beat Girls. They're a grassroots drum corps, as well as a gymnastics team here in the city of Newburgh called the Phenomenal Fly Flippers. And it's just so many things. We also sponsor the African American Day Parade. Putting on the Rich Kids show here at the Rich Theater, and a lot of things. I'm in a lot of things. God bless.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk more about the upcoming African-American cultural parade. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about your city and its kind of new title or label.
Oh, my goodness. My city is under siege, basically. The parents are... I think they have really just lost hope, and then because there are not a lot of adults dying violently, their children dying violently, so the adults are basically shattered here. They have no go-ahead goal, or they can't see any forward motion, really. It's almost like walking into a sea of blind people because of all the deaths. Mm-hmm. You know, like the pain here has people absolutely blind. They can see nothing before their eyes. They can see no hope. I mean, my city is in bad shape over here.
So tell us where over here is so that our family could know where we're talking about.
And we're talking about a little city in New York called Newburgh, New York. about 34,000 to 42,000 people strong at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly Spanish at this time. It used to be predominantly Black.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 years ago, maybe 109 children were picked up and taken to federal prison under a gang violence stipulation, and that wasn't the case with them. They were little kids who were hustling in the street, and they got tagged and called Bloods and Crips. And before that, there was a rash amount of violence going on where maybe 7 or 8 youngsters from the age of 19 to 15 were being violently killed in the street. So the answer that the FBI came up with was, you know, do a sweep. And so they swept about 109 children the first time. They swept about 68 the second time. And ever since, children have just been dying and dropping off daily. It's, within the last 3 weeks, I think there's been 5 or 6 deaths.
Wow.
No,
and what?
No,
what
nobody knows
group?
Who did it.
What's
19,
what's roughly
21 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
these are the typical ages. I just came
mm-hmm.
from a funeral yesterday from the young man that was stabbed in broad daylight the other day. I've never seen such a sight. A whole funeral filled with children crying, a mass of children crying in pain, hurting. And I watch the adults. I mean, I get alarmed sometimes because I watch the adults and I watch children. And sometimes people don't understand body language, but that's holding their arms across their chest and that puffed up thing, I know that they're holding their feelings in. So I run
mm-hmm.
to that child and I grab them and hug them and give them a real big
mm-hmm.
hug and kiss them, tell them somebody love you, baby, for real. So that he can let that out, because I know that that's just building up to be the next death. So that's what I did at the funeral yesterday. I walked
mm-hmm.
and I hugged kids and I loved kids until they stopped crying, until they stopped hurting for a second. Sister Empress, it's terrible over here in Newburgh, New
mm-hmm.
York. And it's painful.
And you know,
watching.
It's very interesting because until I spoke with you the other day, I had never even heard of Newburgh, New York. And it's also very interesting because there is a summit coming up next weekend in Cleveland, Ohio, which has had numerous murders of Black women, by the way. But for the past 2 years, I've been kind of talking with this group, and I've been asking them, you know, about the, you know, women being involved in the summit. And unfortunately, I still haven't really gotten neither invitations for our sisters nor any real response in terms of, because as you just mentioned, there are now gangs in the city that you live in. And so we have to now begin to connect the dots.
I know.
So are you saying that a lot of the deaths that have occurred so far is gang-related?
That's what they're alleging, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any groups in your city that are specifically addressing this issue?
I know that a lot of people come and go here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of visits. Nothing long-term is the reason why I contacted you, in fact, is because, you know, there's a lot of coming and going
mm-hmm.
here. You know, I think they show up with a camera sometime, and then once the camera is gone, then the people are gone, because there have been different programs that were set up, but no follow-through. And, you know, you know, for the most part, I figured that if we can empower some mothers and some fathers here with this Unity Day celebration, if we could get enough people powerful enough to empower mothers and fathers so that they can empower children. I'm like, I can't do it by myself. I can do as much for their children as possible. And believe it or not, they rely on me. They've gotten to the point where from a certain time of the year to a certain time of the year, I'm almost like the babysitter. I pay for, you know, the events out of my own pocket with the children from March until August, and I take care of them literally for a certain time of the year so that they have something going on, because they're so deprived. They have they don't even have swings in this city.
Wow.
I had to, there was a park down here for 17 years. I had to act like a mad woman in order to get just a basic park here for them in the middle of nowhere. It was gravel for 17 years. And so where I actually host this African-American event is in the same park. And it was named after the first African-American mayor of New York State, Miss Audrey Carey. So, it, you know, we try to give back the kids at least memory that you are somebody here, because everything has been basically stripped from them, including their right to live. Sister Empress, it's terrible here. Are you guys still here? Hello?
Okay, my sister, are you there? Okay, somehow we had a kind of interruption there. Hopefully, sister will call back. We had a little technical problem there for a moment. But hopefully, okay, I see her back now. Okay, Sister Natasha, do we have you back now?
Yes, ma'am. I don't know what happened.
Okay, my apologies. Yeah, you know, technology, unfortunately, is not always up to par, but we have you black now. So please continue.
I say my smartphone is not that smart.
I know that's right.
You guys, please forgive me.
I know that's right.
But our city is in bad shape. For it to be so small. And it's really only us dying. You know, it's not many of them dying or many of any other race. It's really us every day, daily, daily. And, you know, it was the reason why I actually called on you, you know, because it the many short-term goals are not going to make it here. You know, we can't keep bandaging this thing up. We've been bandaging it up for about 50 years now.
And my sister, you know, this is what's going on all over the country. It was a time when we were a lot more effective because people were really doing this from their hearts and from, you know, the creativity that had to be applied. Now you have so many groups, you have thousands of anti-violent, anti-drug groups, and, you know, they're into the funding. And as
yes,
a result,
ma'am,
any real concrete kinds of solutions, this is not happening. But I want you to hold that point for one moment. Family, if you have a question or a comment for Sister Natasha, please feel free to push 1 now. And we're going to also talk about with her the upcoming program or event that she has coming up in August. And for those of you who are event planners or performers or what have you, please listen up because the sister really needs your support. So let's see. We're going to go to caller. You were at 4294. Let's see if you have a question or a comment for us tonight. And also, we want to remind you, family, that the chat room is now open for your comments. Okay, 4294.
Yes, I was calling because this is me, Randy Short.
Hey, Brother Randy.
I'm trying to think. Which one of the two? I'm multitasking, forgive me. I'm always... Okay. Okay, Fast 6-2. I'm sorry. I don't, but I have one.
Okay, well, we have you on live now.
Well, I have
so
to.
What we can do is come back to you.
Yeah. I'll get 1 star, 2 tickets. I'm sorry, I'm being hounded. Forgive me. Okay. But anyway,
so,
I wanted to know of this sister, how could somebody do some networking to help her out? And then secondly, I know some people that are very interested and just being connected on the grassroots level. Sometimes a person may not have money, but they may have people. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
And sometimes people may have access to money, but they don't have people. Some may have talent. Do you follow? Because the brother I'm in the car with who does community development in his own way, and, I mean, has done a lot. In fact, we're in a part of D.C. that he did the plans for redeveloping. You know, for all we know, someone in our largest circle can make a difference. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Edwin Nichols, who is a wonderful person, one of the pioneers in getting black folks to not hurt themselves and to not be violent against others. And he's someone that we could put in touch. Do you follow what I'm saying? So
yes.
I just want you to let the sister know that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have is hers. And let her know I'm literally trying to hook up with the percussionist here to see if there's something I could do with people at my church community because I'm concerned about D.C. being next. But she's on point, and she's telling the truth about these crooked, no-good nigger preachers and the other folks. They haven't seen a camera that they didn't like, but there's not a race of people of color that they do like or would sacrifice anything for. And don't get me started. So thank you for having her on. I'm going off, but I just wanted to say I love you and I respect you, Sister Newberg. Give her my info because there's got to be something, even if it's something small and token, I can do to help.
All right. Well, she hears you, Brother Andy, and I will definitely pass the number on to you and vice versa.
Right. Okay. Bless all of you.
God bless.
All right, my brother. Thank you. Okay, that, of course, was Dr. Randy Short, who is on our program regularly. Of course, we recently had him on during the time of Malcolm Shabazz's murder and, of course, services afterwards. And we'll be getting a report from Dr. Randy Short next week after, you know, the memorial service. So now, going back to Sister Natasha, you have an event coming up in August, and, of course, this event is to help, you know, curtail and help to redirect some of the, you know, the negativity that's going on there in Newburgh. So tell us about the upcoming event in August.
Okay, well, it's a historic parade. It kind of highlights our ancestors from Frederick Douglass to James Varick, who created the AME Zion Churches of Northern States and the different people who a lot of people don't really know that actually came from Newburgh and lived in Newburgh, such as Sojourner mm-hmm. Truth and Harriet Tubman. And, you know, people don't know that these people actually lived and came through Newburgh. This is the actual Underground Railroad, one of the passages here. The Pinkster event was held here in the city of Newburgh. The famous Frederick Douglass March, which I actually recreated in 2010, which was our quadricentennial. Mm-hmm. I actually recreated that with this African American Day Parade March. The famous Unity March that Frederick Douglass had, which took place in the city of Newburgh. So, you know, there's a lot of African-American history. My team put the Alsdorf Brothers, which were a very famous music group. They taught the highest esteem white folks back in George mm-hmm. Washington days. They were a part of Washington's cabinet. And if, you know, you research George Washington, you'll see Du Bois Alsdorf in pictures with him. People don't know that this history is in Newburgh. Like, we have a very strong African-American history here. And mm-hmm. the ancestors of these people are here. But they have no idea that these are who they belong. They have no idea at all that these are their ancestors, that this is the place where, you know, it came from down south, but it landed in your lap here in Newburgh.
Wow.
You know, like, slavery stopped here. This was one of the lines where it drew the line. And our people don't even know they're so enslaved here, still mentally, that mm-hmm. they have no idea. So every year, you know, we try to attach the history to the people to let them know mm-hmm. what they're from, who you're made of, what you come from. Like, you don't come from bad stuff. You come from good stuff. And you need to behave like this. But, you know, like I said earlier, they've gotten to a point where they're so hopeless, they don't see any hope, you know. And then the more their children die, I mean, my daughter was almost a statistic. My baby is just coming back. She and my grandson burned in the fire last year. She sustained 55% of her body, third-degree burns. But praise the Lord, wow. her and my grandson are still here. They're alive and well. So mm-hmm. I feel the pain of these people losing their children just as well, because there goes I.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Mm-hmm. You know, like I watched my daughter's face come off with her oxygen mask.
Wow.
So I can relate. I feel them, is mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I know that there are other people out there that can feel us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand Trayvon Moore. I feel them. I understand. I understand Chicago. I feel them. I mm-hmm. understand. And so whatever I can do on my side to help build some type of unity, that's what I'm trying to do from this side, from the Newburgh side. And then beyond, whatever I can help with, wherever else, then here, there go I.
I know that's right. One of the things that we will be talking about in October as part of our reunion is persistence to begin to establish our own societies in our communities. But these societies would be very specific, and they will set examples. So we're going to be talking more about that, because it is time now. See, we can't really expect but so much of a change or of a difference to occur in a system that has always been about not only suppressing, oppressing, and depressing us, but literally killing us. So,
yes.
You know, to think that there's going to be so much of a change
And this is why I keep telling people, you know, year after year, you hear the same things over and over and over and over. Stop the violence, stop the violence, stop the violence. And obviously, as I said to you earlier, obviously, none of that stuff is working because things are increasing. And, again, when it comes to women and girls, we are now experiencing something that wasn't happening in our community like it is now, you see. So there's something drastically going on, and I dare say what unfortunately has been happening to supposedly change situations or make situations better, it hasn't worked. It has not worked. So we've got to now up the ante, raise the bar, and now begin to implement some other things that have not been done to any real degree. So this is where I think sisters are going to be very important, because up until now, sisters have always, you know, done things and had a major role in things, but for the most part also have kind of, you know, stuck to be on the sideline or behind, even though they were very, you know, instrumental in stuff happening. Well, it's now time for sisters to take their rightful places. And with that, bring forward the real love and nurturing of the mother, but also of the warrior.
I hear you. That's right. Got to be a warrior.
Absolutely. I
mean,
and
the things
just,
are so bad right now. If not, then you will fall by the wayside. You indeed right. That is
and
correct.
You just mentioned two powerful women who actually lived in your city. Sojourner Truth and Mother Harriet Tubman? Wow.
Right here in
and
my
you know. Yes. I mean, that's incredible and wonderful. So now tell us, when is the event scheduled to happen?
August 17th, 2013. Of course, this year. From for those who would like to march, we step off at 12 o'clock, and at South Junior High School, South Middle School is called now, for the new burgers that are frummers, we call it South Junior High School, but it's South Middle School now, and we end at the Audrey L. Carey Family Park, which is, you know, once I said before, the first African-American mayor of New York State, and she happened to be a woman.
All right.
See, nobody really, you understand that? Nobody really recognized a lot of things with this place. Except the bad. It's never anything good. It's always everything bad. And, I mean, African-Americans have set precedents here, unreal, but you don't hear about it. You hear about us dying. And now that, you know, it wants to be College Heights, God forgive me, but now that it, you know, you hear all these things.
When I spoke with you earlier, you mentioned something that was very interesting. I think we need to share this with our family audience, and that is, once again, your city is now undergoing what we call relocation and gentrification.
Urban renewal.
Right. Yeah. That's a cute word for takeover. Land grabbing and takeover. That's what it really is.
Yeah, urban renewal. So, you know, we have the community land bank that has just come in to purchase all the properties. Maybe 196.
They're doing the same thing in Philly. They're doing the same thing in Atlanta. They're doing the same thing in Harlem. All over the country, you know, these people have plans. Philadelphia, they got this plan called 2035. When I was in New York a few weeks ago, I just remember a few years ago, New York was talking about their 2030 plan. So we know this is what's going on, and in your city it sounds like the college, just like here in Philly, with Temple University and University of Pennsylvania, it sounds like the college there is moving forward
as in Vinton Harbor, you have Whirlpool.
Oh yeah, they have taken over half of the city at this point. But what I didn't mention, as well as all the other famous people from the city of Newburgh, we also house the famous Mount St. Mary's College.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So Mount St. Mary's has taken over about half of the inner city of Newburgh.
Wow.
So, you know, half of downtown is belonging to Mount St. Mary College, and the other half is about to belong to Orange County Community College. So, you know, in fact, you know, I believe that this is why there's no beef up on security and children are dropping Glocks. They're 17-year-old dropping Glocks on the ground.
Wow.
Okay? They're expendable. They're just throwing them away. Like when the cops are chasing them, they're just throwing Glocks away. Expendable. And I'm like, the medium income here, you know, the highest basic income really for a middle class family is maybe $50,000. So where are these children getting Glocks?
Mm-hmm. Just to hold that point, we're going to go back to our lines. Call us if you have a question or a comment. We're talking about, well, a couple of things going on, gentrification, our children dying in Newburgh, and, of course, nationwide, but now the increase of gang activity. If you have a question or comment in regards to this or some related topic, please push one now. We're going to go to caller here at 8374. We're going to bring you in right about now. Do you have a comment or a question for us for tonight?
No, I do not. Just listening. Thank you.
8374?
Just listening.
Okay, you have a lot of noise in the background here. Is there any way you can not have that because we can't hear you? Okay, I guess not. Okay, well, we have to go to another caller. There was a lot of activity going on back there. Okay, so let's continue on, though. Oh, snap. Okay, so what is it that we can do to help?
Everything. Everything.
Well, you got to be a little specific because, see, our people will help, but it's good to be able to, you know, you have to learn to relegate, as they say, or, you know,
delegate
and so forth. Delegate. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, delegate. So, give us some ideas of some of the things that could help.
I mean, we really, really would like to see a strong African presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the children to be able to attach to so that they know that mm-hmm. there's something stronger than what they're looking at. You know, Dr. Randy had said, you know, if he can market or do some things to do, that would be a blessing to us to see if we
mm-hmm.
can get some presence here.
Right.
To at least let the people see that, you know, we're bigger than what we look like right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're always seeking entertainers and like he said,
okay.
You know, those things, you know, it don't have to be gold. We know how to turn people into gold. It don't always
right.
have to be gold. It's not about a money thing here. It's about
mm-hmm.
getting together
mm-hmm.
and making it happen. So we look for
mm-hmm.
marchers and entertainers. We need effective public speakers
mm-hmm. okay.
to come out and, you know, give a great message, not just a good message.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
things like that. We need people that who know about uniforms and old cultural things and art mm-hmm. and culture. We need vendors and things that represent forward movement and mm-hmm. not always backward movement. But and even in the backward movement, we need things that reflect the backward movement so that we know how to go forward. So we need things from the past. We need things from the present. It's just, when I say a lot of stuff, sister, I meant that, you know. I really mm-hmm. meant that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that are needed. Wellness, people, we need healers. We need people who know how mm-hmm. to, herbalists, because there are people out here ailing. There's a lot of illness amongst us, you know. Like all over, but you know, it's such a small town, it's a lot of illness, you know. People don't even know they're ill.
Wow.
A lot of little girls
yep.
out here pregnant, they
mm-hmm.
got 4 or 5 babies, they're 19, 20.
Wow.
3, 4 babies by this guy, you know, 2, 3 babies by this one. There's no, one of my friends called it, Tosh, you need to get out of there because that's like a prostitute town. Tasha, this is not the place for you. You're a good girl and you need to leave here because they stay with each other for
mm-hmm.
a little while, you know, find out how each other do, and then they leave. And this is the type of atmosphere that they're breeding the children in.
Mm-hmm.
Non-commitment. You know, no steady perseverance, really. You know,
mm-hmm.
and if it is,
mm-hmm.
it's usually on the hustle. And that's what they're
mm-hmm.
teaching them. You know, if they persevering, they persevering on the hustle. And they teach them how to get money and
is there a lot of drug activity going on?
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A dumping ground, basically, for pedophiles.
Mm. Wow.
You know, indeed. So, I don't know if you guys heard about the Mark Bukal case, the little boy that was abducted and killed here. That was maybe a year or two ago. It was a little 4-year-old found in a duffel bag, 2 blocks or 3 blocks away from his mom's home.
And this was a black child?
Mm-hmm. Little boy, Mark Bukal. It was nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Young lady abducted on Renwick Street, but the little kids fought the man off, so he put the little girl back down. The little kids fought the man off.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. The children, they were about 11 and 10 and 9. They fought the man off, and he put the little girl back down and ran.
Wow, so that was your little city.
Yes, that was my little city.
Wow, okay. I'm putting things into perspective now. Mm-hmm.
So that's what,
well,
you know, the children are fighting really for their lives, you know. They,
mm-hmm.
they're really fighting. They're fighting hard when a 10 and 11, a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and 11-year-old fight off a predator trying to take another 9-year-old.
Wow.
I mean, I thought it was absolutely heroic. I love them. That's why I laugh. I pat him on the back. Go ahead, babies. Y'all get him. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But to me, it's heroic for them. But they should have
mm-hmm.
to fight so hard like that.
Well, this is why it's so important that we are able to develop what we need to in our own communities. Our own town watches, our own you know, other types of apparatuses that
will have us to function in the way that we need to and not be dependent on other people. And it can and will work once we apply ourselves to that. Sister, give out your contact information, your email address, telephone number, or whatever you wish to share.
Okay, my my email address is NobleGenius@gmail.com. And my phone number is 845-674-4669. Mm-hmm. And I can be reached there because that's my cell phone. It's a direct access.
Okay, great. Now, just before we let you go, just so that we're clear, it's August 17th. Now, you're talking about a African-American parade and multicultural unity event. Now, would you also be interested in some pre-events leading up to that or something else, you know, in conjunction with the planned activities that you already have?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay. Well, we will definitely be talking with you later on this week to see how we can participate on this end and get others to get involved as well. How far are you from, say, Brooklyn or Harlem?
Maybe an hour and 10 minutes from from Harlem. Hour and a half from Brooklyn.
Okay. I think this becomes a general idea. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's quite doable, and I'm sure that you will have, brothers and sisters, some giving you a call very soon, and we'll continue to put this information out there and continue to build, and I'm sure it will be very, very productive.
I thank you guys for your time. I really do, and I appreciate you.
Oh, you're so very welcome, sister. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. We have to be able to support each other and, not be afraid to do so or not be reluctant to do so. This is what community and family is really about. And this is why I feel strongly we're kind of losing some of that because so many of our people are now kind of stuck, you know, and stuck in ways that is just not accomplishing the kinds of things that we need to accomplish. Events are wonderful, but as you indicated, and I'm so glad to hear you say that, there has to be some ongoing, long-lasting kinds of things applied.
Mm-hmm. Because without them, it's just in vain. We can't do the one day and then stop and then something else another day. It has to continue to flow, almost like water, so that it can continue to cleanse.
I can tell you one of the things that I certainly want to propose. On October the 25th, we will be declaring, actually on the 26th, we will be declaring the year of the black girl, or for some, the year of the African-American girl. And that will start on October 26, 2013, and run through October 26, 2014. And the whole focus is to really place a major emphasis on little sisters, girls from birth to roughly 21 years of age. So I think it will be a wonderful thing to start a little sisters group in your community. How about that?
Yeah, we used to call it Miss Black Newberg. Yeah,
okay.
We had something years ago called Miss Black Newberg, and that was what we did. We had an emphasis strictly on them, and it was academics and, like, the whole overall thing, put them through etiquette classes. And, yeah, this would be great. We've been trying to bring something back like this for a long time.
Well, this would be wonderful because we have especially designed some very key things for our what we call little sisters. Because as African women who are focused on self-determination, what we do is very different from what most do. Again, we're not focusing on grants and all of that kind of stuff, so it's really about the one-on-one nurturing kinds of things. And we're looking at doing travel. We want to make sure that these young girls experience travel, because we've learned that this is one of the key things that truly does make a difference in one life.
Yes.
Many of these young girls have never even been out of the state.
Out of their own city.
Right, exactly. So we want to, to at least venture further into the East Coast, and then ultimately into the West Coast, and then ultimately out of the country. But first things first. We have a lot of wonderful things on the East Coast, such as the Black Wax Museum, the Schomburg Museum, and so forth. So for sisters to now take on the kind of commitment to spend some time with these young girls, this is going to make a serious difference.
This would be nice. This is going to be nice.
Absolutely.
That's going to be nice.
Absolutely.
Mhm. That's going to be nice.
Absolutely.
They need it, and they'll love that.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
So these are some of the things that we'll be talking about more, because now with the development of the Man Woman Movement, these are some of the components that are part of our movement, helping these young girls to grow and become and get ready to be whole women, not whore women. Whole.
All right.
You know,
like
we keep
that.
It live and real here at New Day. You know, we hold no, we just keep it going, you know. But, you know, this is what it's about. You know, we, I sound to be honest and just straightforward with our young sisters, with our young adults, period, is the best way to go, you know, to let them know that we do understand and that we can communicate in a way that is going to be respectful, but yet very clear and very candid with one another.
Sister, you know, as sad as it is, what they're seeing and what we're saying is not the same. You know, like they're seeing mm-hmm. something in their category, in their age category, with their music and with their dress code and the things that they're expected
right.
to do with video.
Right.
I mean, I seen a 4-year-old on video popping tail, and they call it twerking.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
who would teach a baby this thing here?
Right. That's right. I've seen it. I have been in a car or even walking through the hood and see little girls dancing. And the adults standing by, go ahead, girl, go ahead. And it is not cute.
It is not cute.
At all.
I mean, they do this grinding, winding thing, and they little babies.
Yeah.
On the,
yeah.
I'm like, what in the world, man? Like, who does this? And
again,
I must be the strangest creature in the world, because I'm looking at the parents saying, how could you? Like, don't you remember
see,
what you went through?
This is why it's so important that we, and again, I said this to you earlier, that we are organized. If we are 1,000 strong, 10,000 strong, 100,000 strong, you don't think people are not going to listen and pay attention?
Yes.
See, this is why it's so important. We have to now build something that folks can recognize and will respect. And unfortunately, people respect power. And there's power in sisters if we're organized. And sisters are all over the country doing wonderful things, but very little of it is really structured where it's synchronized and in sync, except for maybe the sororities.
and it shouldn't be. There's enough grassroots kinds of operations and professionals that can be connected and really, really function, and that our objective is not religion, not what school you went to, not what church you go to or what mosque you go to, or any of that stuff. Our focus has to be the work that we commit ourselves to do, working with these young girls, working with our older sisters, building our family and community. That has to be the focus. All that other stuff, lean into it. Don't care about it beyond a certain point. That's everybody else's business. Do your own business. But when it comes to the work, we got to be on the same or similar page. And that's what we're talking about. And that's the type of sisterhood that we're building.
Okay, amen. My dad called all that other stuff just stuff. Tosh, look at it like just stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and this is what makes the difference for us, is that our major premise and our major focus is that we come from the same mother.
Yes.
That's our connection right there. And there's none like it. It is what it is. There's no denying it. We are highly melanated. There's no getting around it. And that's the connecting force. You see, there's no argument with that. There's no philosophy with that. There's no I believe or don't believe. It is what it is. It's right there in front of your face. You can't get away from it. That's what we're working with. See, and that will allow us to be victorious. Because within our DNA, truly, there is power. So can you imagine all of that coming together? Well, it did in 1997. But unfortunately, people kind of miss a very dynamic segment that, you know, we couldn't really explain at the time because, you know, we were being infiltrated and sabotaged and all kinds of stuff. So we really could not push just so much information out there at the time. But now we've persevered, we've weathered the storms, and we've been able to grow and develop as all groups and all movements do. There's not a group or movement that did not experience some adversity in their growth and development, not in this country. So, you know, we weren't exempt from that, and as a result, we have been able to be not only become stronger, but even more on point. So with that said, my sister, we will talk this week and strategize some things, and I'm sure that, you know, some of the other sisters will be calling you as well, and that you already heard Dr. Randy Short said he will be calling you, and I can tell you he is incredible. He has a wonderful network of committed and very skillful people.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I'm here. I hear you. Yes, ma'am. I thank you guys for the time that you've given, and I appreciate you, like I said before. It's been a pleasure. I'm here. I'm here. I'm in it. I've been in it for some years now, and I'm here to stay, you know. Whatever it takes for us to be empowered the way that we're supposed to be empowered, you know, for some reason, God have made it my job, and it's just my job at this point. It's just what I do,
mm-hmm.
And so I just do what I do, you know, and I thank you guys for all your help.
I know that's okay. Right. Well, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, sister, so, you know, again, we appreciate what you do and appreciate that you appreciate us as well. But this is now what has to be done. And lastly, we want to let everyone know that the Million Women Movement now has membership available. And we really are encouraging our sisters to become a member. You can be a support member or an active member.
There's all types of membership. There's something for everyone. Health, professional, activism, social justice issues, you name it, we've got something for you. So please feel free to contact us by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And remember, the 16th year anniversary reunion is coming upon us quickly. We definitely need your support. We want to bring our sisters back together. And so we've created a Million Women March alumni. So we're going to tell you more about that next week. And for those who attended in 1997, we now have a unique alumni association for those sisters, as well as the new kinds of associations for sisters that are coming in, including something called A Million Black Women Rising. So we're getting ready. So, sister, give out your contact information one more time.
My cell phone is 845-674-4669, and my email address is noblegenius, NOBLEGEANIOUS, @gmail.com.
All right. Very good. All right, my sister. Well, again, I thank you much. And before we let you go, please give us your closing comments for tonight.
You guys, stay encouraged. Stay blessed, you know. Stay at peace. I know that the struggle is very long and it's very hard. You know, we can get a little weary every now and again, but, you know, I would suggest that we stay encouraged, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Well, my sister, again, I thank you for all that you do. And I'm sure you'll be coming back on our program, you know, between now and August. We'll have you back a few times. So it's onward. And again, today, of course, is African Liberation Day, and for us, that's every day. But again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us tonight, and we look forward to having you back with us again very soon.
Okay, thank you. Good night to all.
Good night to you. All right, family. Well, we have come down to our last few minutes for tonight's program. And we want to thank all of you, of course, for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. We want to remind you that we really need your support to make certain that this year's anniversary celebration is all that it should be. So please send us your support by way of a donation. Nothing is too small, and certainly if you're interested in really getting involved, well, we'll certainly be more than happy to give you information about that as well. Again, you can reach us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And you can also reach us at MWM Sisterhood, which is spelled SISTAHOOD. @AOL.com. Again, MWM Sisterhood @AOL.com. And certainly for the Black Women's Defense League, BWDL7 @AOL.com. Again, V as in Benin, W as in woman, D as in defense, L, V, the number 7 @AOL.com. So until next time, family, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. And remember, though, there can be no real Ma'at, no real Hotep, unless they are together. There can be no real peace until there is justice. So until next time, we leave you again in the concept and in the struggle for power, prosperity, and peace. Tuchanana and Pamoja Tudashinda, together we shall win. into a new day, resurrection and liberation. Wake up, everybody.
Wake up.